Welcome to the second season of Goals Do Come True, the show that takes a deep dive into the systems and processes that help turn your business goals into reality. Hosted by me, Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. If you like what you hear today, please remember to share the love by liking, sharing, and reviewing the show. It helps spread the word to others looking for help with their goals. Anyway, let's crack on. Well, here we go, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Goals Do Come True with me, Doug Bennett. Today, I'm joined by Daniel Lawson. His business is Parallax. That's all I know about it. I know a lot more about it, but, you know, invariably, these things sound better when they come from the people that are doing their business, and they can tell us more about it. They can tell us the honest truth about everything. So anyway, over to Daniel. We've got a connection on motorbikes, and we're going to touch on that a little bit. And I think we had a chat about a year or so ago about his stuff, and things have moved on for us both over that time. But Daniel, over to you. Let us know what's been going on in your life. Tell us a little bit of your background and where the bike comes into things. And over to you.
Oh, I love it. What a great intro. Thank you so much. It was really great catching up with you. What was it? Yeah, about a year ago, 18 months ago, we were talking about goals back then. And wow, so much has changed. I love the intro and touching on motorbikes. It was just, what, about 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, I was down in Morocco. And it ties into one of my biggest business goals I had back in 2019 when I quit my corporate job. I created Parallax Apparel, which is a water sports. It was an inspirational water sports apparel brand that I wanted to build a business around kitesurfing, travel the world, chase the wind, and just live this remote, independent lifestyle. And I kind of did it, and then COVID hit, and I was kind of stuck, as many of us kind of were, until I decided I didn't really want to be stuck anymore. I moved to Bali, sold all my kitesurfing gear, forgot about my dream because there was no wind in Bali, and I was there for 2 years, and I can not say it was bad at all. It was a bloody wonderful place to live. And then it was up until, was it the start of this year, traveling around Europe and realizing, well, I'm free. I'm living the dream that I created all those years ago and where I started out. And I really wanted to go kitesurfing. And my girlfriend, who I'm with now, I was like, wow, imagine if I could go kitesurfing, chasing that dream, living up my business goals and having a girlfriend that loved kiteboarding as well. What a dream come true that would be. And so I had to leave Europe. I can only be here on this passport for 3 months. I said to her, I was like, should we jump on a plane, go down to Morocco? We'll chase the wind down there. I'll pay for you to go. Kitesurfing is not an easy sport to get into. It's not a cheap sport to get into. But I said, look, if you go and give it a go, we met at CrossFit, by the way. So she, you know, she's the kind of girl that's got like this relentless determination to do better in her life anyway. And I was like, if you give it a go, I'll pay for it. And if you don't like it, that's totally cool. Just show up like it matters and we'll take it from there. We went down to the Western Sahara and went kite surfing, and it was incredible. She loved it. It was awesome. While we're down there, she also saw a motorbike and said, hey, should we jump on this motorbike? What I realized is since 2019, what are we in now? Like, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, I finally achieved the biggest goal that I could dream of. My goals got bigger, of course, now, but the biggest dream I could dream of, my biggest goal I could dream of back 4 years ago, I'm living that out even more so than ever before, tying together my two biggest passions, motorbikes and kitesurfing, with someone I love so much. And I'm so proud to be able to share that story now.
That's cool, because I think going back, the motorbike thing, I'm trying to remember, and you know, forgive me if I don't remember this correctly, because I'm 60 years of age now and I've drunk alcohol since we spoke. But wasn't it you and your brother were on an island somewhere, and it was talk about getting a motorbike, and it was just like no chance because of the amount of money that it was going to cost.
Yeah,
you can correct me if I'm wrong, or just, you know, tidy up the story. But
that's, I remember that story. So we're talking.
Well, I'm glad that, because that means it must have been true.
It was true. It's still in the pipeline, and maybe it hasn't come around as quick as what we imagined it to. We had this crazy idea to be, we're living in Bali. We wanted to get out of Bali, and we thought it'd be really cool to drive to Nepal or ride to Nepal on motorbikes. So we ended up going to these bikes called Hunter Mavericks. They're built in Bali in Indonesia. And so we can save on all the import taxes and everything else, you know, from import bikes. And we went down there. My brother fell in love with the bike so much. He goes and just puts down a deposit, buys one. I'm left there going, oh, shit, what am I going to do? Anyway, he buys one. He's been riding, you know, for the last 18 months now. He's been riding around his brand new adventure bike. It's similar to it's like a 500cc version of a BMW GS. That's what it looks like. That's the style of the bike. Awesome bike. It was so good. And so that was the goal. After being in Bali for 2 years, I really wanted to get out. I didn't end up buying a bike. I met my girlfriend and we've been traveling around and he's still sitting there going, dude, when are we going to do this trip? He was, to be honest, a bit disappointed when he heard that I was riding motorbikes in Morocco without him. He's like, oh, do I have to fly over there and come and get this trip going again? So it's in the pipeline. I hope, I trust at some stage, maybe next time we catch up, I'll be able to share a more story about how we've tied that loose end up.
Yes. I'm glad I remembered that correctly. I'm glad I remembered that correctly because it was all about, you know, goals and setting them and stuff like that. So what else? So we're kite surfing. That sounds like an awful lot of fun. Also, do you do that over water or is that a land thing? I mean, I don't know much about kite surfing.
Well, kite surfing, with the surfing element of it can be in the waves or it can be in the flat water. And Dakhla, Western Sahara, one of the best places in the world for it. It's just flat water on the edge of the desert, lots of wind, and it's incredible. I love flat water. Some people do it in the waves. That's cool as well. You can do, I really love snow kiting as well. I haven't seen winter in about 4 years now. So I try to steer clear of, you know, the cold locations. Mm-hmm. But if I am there, I'll pump up the kite and go and do snow kiting, which is awesome because you don't have to snowboard down. The hill doesn't matter anymore. You can go up the hill, down the hill, across the hill, or just on the flat if you've got wind and a kite. But of course, then you can do kite buggying, which seems very dangerous. I've seen it and I see a lot of people flipping out of control on those. I think it's just an awesome sport because harnessing the power of the wind or nature, it's just incredible power. You know what it's like riding motorbikes and you pull on the throttle and you're like, wow, let's go.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when you're kite surfing with, you know, good wind and you've got the power bar, you pull the bar in and you're flying. And I don't know when it comes to G-force, I'm not a fighter pilot, but sometimes I feel that way when catch a really good gust and shoot up. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So where are you at the moment then?
In Sofia, in Bulgaria right now. So I got my portable studio set up there. My girlfriend, she's from Bulgaria. So we spent 3-4 months traveling around Spain and then down to Morocco, across to Italy. We drove from February, actually. I flew in from New Zealand, landed in Bulgaria. We got my girlfriend's car, drove from here to Spain in 3 days. It was 3,000 Ks. 3 days we got across. We toured around Spain. And then, we ended up driving back. And, we're back here. Thinking about going to Greece or got a trip actually. I'm getting really into doing a lot of collaborations and events at the moment. So heading over to Dominican Republic in October. So it's coming around really quickly actually. And then hopefully chasing the wind and going
chasing the wind and going kite surfing. So, I mean, that's interesting because it's like, it is all about Goals Do Come True, the podcast. So you've had these visions and things that you wanted to do. How did you make them happen? I mean, do you write these things down or, just go with the flow?
When it comes to goals, you know, it's funny that we're here. I think I said this last time on the podcast as well. Now, like, I feel like I'm probably the least qualified person when it comes to talking about goals. However, saying that, I've helped a lot of high achievers move into high performance and achieve incredible things in their lives. So I must inherently understand something about goals. I don't necessarily put it that way. And the reason is when I first started out, I think people fall into like a couple of categories and then like me somewhere in the middle. When we hear goals, it's kind of, there's a lot of disempowered people, people that haven't experienced personal empowerment yet. And they see goals and go, wow, just another way that I can prove to myself that I suck and I'm not going to achieve anything. And there's a whole group of people like that. And I think this conversation is really important for those people because at some stage, if they're willing and they want to, they'll break out of that and start seeing the other side or moving towards something else. Then there's a whole other group of people, which maybe is probably a lot of your listeners also is going, goals, I love goals because it's a way that I can confirm how awesome I am. I'm going to set something bigger in the pursuit of becoming awesome and achieving even more in my life and creating more satisfaction, whatever is important to them. And there's a whole group of people with that. I was neither of those people. I was somewhere in the middle going, goals. Are we still crapping on about this old thing again? Like, seriously. And I share that story as a bit of a laugh because I think I truly believe that goals are important, not so much for the attainment of the goal. And this is really important. What I discovered through coaching and achieving what it is that I have achieved and hitting the goals that I've hit. One of the biggest lessons for me is back in my corporate job, hitting my most important career achievements, business development or middle management and an ASX 200 company, international travelers, international business development manager, had my convertible Audi in my high-rise apartment and had everything all cut out for me. But I was empty. I was looking out the window, wishing I could go kiteboarding for one. And realizing that the stress and the pressure and everything that was just this empty, sinking feeling inside of me, all I was getting was money. All I had was money. I had nothing else. I had zeros in the bank account, but zeros in my life. And I think that was when I realized hitting goals isn't everything. And it shifted something in my brain. And I was like, you know what's more important? And it sounds like such a cliche now. And I trust it will serve someone if it really lands with them. It's not about hitting the goal, because the goal could be anything, but it's the pursuit of the goal and who we become along the way that's so much more powerful. And you probably, I would guess that you've talked about this probably a lot on this podcast, I'd hope and I'd imagine, because when we hit the goal, we hope that it was important. And we could talk about this actually. I think the emotional connection to why is really important part of the conversation of pursuit of goals. But it's who we become along the way, because that's who we take on, or we take along with us on the journey for the rest of our lives. Otherwise, we hit the goal and it's like, what happened to me? I kind of fell off the edge and my life came crashing down, which seems so strange. Hit the biggest, best goal of my life and then have nothing. Yes. I was absolutely crushed by it. So that was probably the biggest turning point for me in terms of going, this is where goals have played a major role in my life and everything that it is that I've created now. Because I'm not going to say I'm the one that when I hit a goal, I don't feel empty at the other side of it, but I've certainly minimized that. And if anyone listening has achieved a great goal, they're checking out, have you ever created a goal in your life or hit a goal in your life and then realized it wasn't what it is that you expected? You're not getting the feeling that it is that you wanted as a result.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hit selling my business for, a massive amount of money 3 or 4 years ago. And it's like, now what? Right? I could have retired. I was 56, 57. Oh my God. There's still so much. There's so much more that I can give the world. It would almost be, I don't want to sound arrogant, but it would almost be too selfish of me to retire, because, I'm interviewing, amazing people that will inspire people to improve their lives. And we're just the stone on a pond. It's the ripple effect of what it is. If we affect one person, then they affect one person, then they affect, I know we're going to affect more than just one person. I know that. And the other jobs that I do, my wealth management business and my cash flow lifestyle financial planning business and the podcasts and coaching and all the rest of it, all of these things give me purpose still. And I need to do it because it's the difference that it makes to the other people out there. And I think that's the difference with some people. It's like, even when you get everything, you can feel empty. I mean, there's all the stories of the Olympic gold medalists. They've got their gold medal. Mm-hmm. And now what? It should be the most exciting time of their lives. But within a few days, it's like, well, now what am I going to do? That's a shame. So I love the fact that, you say it's what you become and who you become along the way. And it is, the journey rather than the destination is what they talk about. And the other factor is that, going for something, achieving it, okay, you can feel, and I like the way that the fact that you've managed the fact that when you achieve your goals, it's like, it's not now the be all and the end all, and it's not a crushing situation. It's like, right, it's a step. Okay. So we've hit that, but we've learned, a massive amount of stuff along the way, all of which we can now apply to a new, bigger, hairy, audacious goal, something even bigger. That in itself, that's the awesome thing about goals. It's like, you just need to embrace them, start, you know, to start with, have something a little bit more modest to cut your teeth on. Doing, you know, kite surfing in Morocco, getting all of the gear and taking your girlfriend and all of it, you know, that's like, you know, it's a big thing. You know, I've got people in the Wealth Tribe that, you know, their goals are considerably more modest, but I know once they've achieved those and they've got that first one out of the way. And it's like, and they know that the next one, and they're working towards that. And then they get that one out of the way, and that's going to be bigger than the first one. And then the next one's going to be bigger than these two put together, more than likely. And then, you know, and before we know it, we're 2 years down the line, and their whole life has changed as a result of just adopting and taking one or two little steps towards this exciting journey that is goals and goal setting. So what is in it for you? What's next on that?
I just reflecting on what it is that you're saying there, I think that's, for me, that's the essence of goal setting, as it provides criteria and benchmarks for myself to keep myself on track. I think goals are a wonderful way. You know, it's like maybe a comparison to, say, a homing missile. Seems kind of a weird analogy to use right now. But to hit a target, it's always having to course correct to hit it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what goals give us. Goals give us something to go towards, you know, because the other side of what I just said, people go, well, what's the point of having a goal at all then? Why don't you just focus on your personal development? Well, part of personal development, what are we going to have to build within us? And I think that's what the goal gives us, is benchmarks and criteria. And I love what it is that you said before, is going, okay, that's just one step or many steps of guiding who it is that we want to become.
Mm.
So what's in it for me? It's a really great question, because part of the pursuit of my evolution of myself is discovering more of who it is that I am. It's been over the last 4 or 5 years, I wouldn't have even dreamt where I've reached. I've already passed what my initial dreams were, and then created some more dreams and passed those dreams. And it's as I grow and develop, it's finding out more of what it is that I'm made of. Going back to what you mentioned before and how you could just retire, I think this is a real problem in the world today, is the brain is not wired to have no problems. We need to be figuring something out. We need to have challenge. Like, if we don't have challenge within us, our brain, our neurology is going to create challenge. And I think this is a real problem in the world today, because we've lived, our existence has created such an easy life for ourselves. We're creating really pretty low quality goals or low quality objectives or challenges, and go, yes, really, is that what humanity's focusing on right now? Like, I'm not going to give any examples. People can, whatever, you can think of it, because a lot of it's political, and I'm not going to get into politics. But I think, you know, as individuals, if we really look at the challenge that we're really attending to and go, is that a good quality challenge? I think for so many people, it's going, it's a pretty low quality challenge. It's something that I'm super passionate about when I'm coaching my clients, is going, are you going to just sit there and worry about that? Let's go, what are my big goals for all of, or big outcomes for all my clients? Is go, okay, tell me what your biggest outcome is, what you'd like. I try to make it like threefold or five times bigger. And they're like, I didn't even know that was possible to begin with. And I'm like, now let's, can we put a guarantee that's what we're going to achieve in the next 3 months or 6 months, whatever the time frame is? And they're like, you can do that? I'm like, yeah. This is the demonstration of what we're going for, because if you're going to focus on the low quality problems, you're going to get low quality outcomes. And so I do that for my clients as much as I do it for myself, because these are the kinds of challenges that I want to be solving. But like, I think part of my purpose is to inspire people to be better for themselves, like tap into their essence of who they are. Because if we've got more people really tapping into the essence, their true essential self, and showing up in that way, the world's going to be a better place. We're not going to be worried about, you know, the crappy people pleasing and the caretaking of each other, and worrying about the PC stuff, and, you know, getting into arguments about stuff that isn't going to drive communities, humanity, or anyone forward. We're going to be going, we need to do this, and I'm passionate about it. I'm going to stand on top of this hill, I'm going to shout up from the rooftop, and I'm going to do it because it's truly beneficial. I'm not doing it just for myself to make some money or just to get more power of leverage. It's going to be because this is what we're doing. And I truly believe that. So I love this journey of challenging myself And, you know, as you say, it's like one stone at a time, one person at a time. It's ripple effect. Change one life and the ripple effect, like say, example, a father, he's the demonstration for his one or two or three children. And when he changes a behavior or a way of thinking or approach to something, he's taught his three children to do that. Now we're changing. This is a generational effect.
Yes.
And that just inspires me so much. I get lit up by that conversation.
Yes. Hello, I hope you don't mind me interrupting this episode. Just wanted to tell you about one of my other businesses, which is DB Wealth Planning and Preservation. We do cash flow modeling, lifestyle financial planning, and wills and trusts. So if that's something that's on your agenda, if you want to see what your future looks like well ahead of the game, then pop over to my website, dbwpp.co.uk, and we'll help you create your future and protect your assets. So that's dbwpp.co.uk. Anyway, let's go back to the podcast. And that, and it is that. It is that because, you know, that's what kids do. They follow because they have no idea what else is available to them. So they just emulate what is demonstrated to them. So you got to make sure that you're demonstrating the right things, the right philosophies and the right, you know, characteristics and integrity and truth. And, you know, and it seems trite. It's a massive foundation for their futures. So I like, yeah, I do like the fact it's like, well, if we can make a difference at that level, then we are making a difference to the future generations. I do like that. That's very, very, I'm going to borrow that, you know. I'm just going to have to borrow it.
Is it? That's all we're here. That's what we're here for sure. I get my clients. I've heard that quite a few times. Can I steal that? Can I borrow it? I'm like, it's yours. I didn't come up with it. I borrowed it from someone else anyway.
Yeah. Just can't remember who.
I don't know.
No. That's seriously, I like that. And do you know what? It's the sort of thing that you think, it's just given me, because I let people off the hook, right? Because I'll give them some stuff, some, you know, fundamentals. And it's like, and then I just don't close them on the next steps to make a huge difference to their lives. I think part of that might be, you know, I'm in a transition period myself in certain aspects of my life. So, you know, sometimes you've got to redevelop the belief in what it is that you're doing, redevelop the belief in the fact that you are making a difference and tidy up the, you know, the shit, because we all have shit going on in the background.
Absolutely.
You know? And we just got to balance that against, yeah, the fact that we are going to make a difference to people. And having a coach or a mentor or, you know, an accountability buddy. And I have said this before, and there's a reason that I keep saying it, is because it is a message that needs to be understood by people, is it accelerates the process of your achievements. Anything, you know, because we can all do stuff. And if we apply ourselves and we stumble across the right tools and, you know, we apply them for ourselves and we bumble along. And I've bumbled along, no doubt you bumbled along in the past. And it's like, you know, but then all of a sudden there's a set of rules that you have to abide by. And you've got somebody that said you're held accountable to. And all of a sudden a 5-year goal gets achieved in 2 years or less. You know, you've said it yourself. It's like, well, the goals that you had in mind, you far surpassed those, and they were probably 10-year goals, and you achieved them in considerably shorter time. And the 5-year goals have happened considerably earlier. And so there's a lot of people out there think, well, I can't afford to have somebody as an accountability person on me. I can't afford a coach, can't afford a mentor. You can't afford not to have one.
Yeah. And also, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Like where I'm coaching, one of the challenges I did is I started coaching high performers, like 7-figure business owners, because that I needed that challenge to level up myself.
Yes.
One thing I notice with people, and so just going back to your point, I can't afford it. Well, you can't afford not to have it, but it doesn't have to cost money either. Just, it's like the old thing of surround yourself with the people that you want to emulate. And so most people that are saying I can't afford it are surrounding themselves with people that allow them to feel comfortable. You know, so what you said, letting people off the hook, I think it's our job as coaches not to let our clients off the hook, because that's what everyone else is doing. They pay us to not let them off the hook. That's what I'm getting paid the money to do.
Yeah.
And so we can replicate that in our own lives. I do that. Like the people, the communities that I hang out in and the friends that I have and the people that I show up with aren't going to let me off the hook. You know, in the world of the highest achievers, the very best, they don't get there by accident. They get there because they're driven, they're ambitious, they've got this relentless pursuit of excellence. With that drive, it comes with a whole other set of challenges. And those challenges can be intense. Life gets intense. And when we're pursuing success in one area, it comes at the expense of other areas. And so that's where I come in for my clients. But that's where we can have friends that come in and do that for us as well. And I think that's incredibly important. That's incredible. And I'm sure within your community, you'll have people like that already doing that for some people. But they're not going to just don't go and do it for anyone. You know, for anyone watching this that's in your community, in any community, I think it takes our own responsibility to go and find that person.
Yeah.
And go, who's going to be like, who's going to have like utmost, like that's going to challenge me to do the hard thing that I need to do and hold me accountable for that. I think when we do that and then we learn to trust ourselves that we are going to follow through with someone like kind of kicking our ass, whether it's emotionally or hopefully not
metaphysically,
yeah, whatever way it is, then it's incredible. You know, like I'll have conversations with people that want to meet my clients and they're like, Daniel, I can't afford it, or I'm just not ready yet. And I'm like, it's not that you're not ready. You're just deciding that you're not ready yet. Come back to me when, go and do some things that allow you to say yes to you, that you can trust yourself to follow through. And then I'll trust you to follow through. Because I'm not going to work with you until you decide that you can trust in yourself. And I think that's a really great way to do this in communities, is find someone that's going to challenge you, go and take care of all the challenges, and then you're going to trust yourself to play at a higher game and enable anyone to say, okay, yeah, whether it's a $1,000 program, $2,000, $10,000, $50,000 program, whatever it is, wherever it is, we got to earn the right to be there or earn the self-trust that we're going to follow through on whatever that level of challenge is. Otherwise, it's too much. People will just sit there and keep playing a small game and going, I can't afford it, as if that's ever been a problem. What are they affording instead? The drinks on the weekend, or shitty food that they're eating, or the fuel in a car that they can't afford that's already on finance, you know, the new couch or the TV or whatever the shit is. You're bored and can justify what it is that you choose to value. I think coaching is something that we need to choose to value.
Wow. I'm going to chop that bit out.
My little rant.
No, but it was a seriously good rant, and it's a fair rant, you know. It's a fair rant, and it's a fair representation of what we should be thinking about when we're investing in ourselves. Now, I'm going to go back. I'm just going to ask you a question about the people that you surround yourself with, right? If we go back 5 years, are there people that were in your life 5 years ago that are no longer in your life now? You don't have to name them, obviously.
Probably all of them.
All of them.
Pretty much. The only person that would be consistent, not all of them. There's a couple that are still here, and they're the very people that helped me get me to where it is that I am now. And I've grown, and we're still together. One of them is my brother. I've got huge respect for my brother. He's 5 years younger than me, and he's the one that allowed me to break free or get out of the corporate reality rat race that I was in. And he was my model of demonstration. I think that's a really great point to make, is a model of demonstration, a model of excellence, or your role model doesn't have to be someone that's years ahead of you or above you or whatever. Like, it was my younger brother, and we have sibling rivalry. We want to be better than each other all the time. But I'm happy to say that he was my model of demonstration. I hope that I'm his model of demonstration again now as an older brother in different areas.
Yes.
But I think, you know, we're different areas, different times. One other person that really helped me get out of what I did when I quit my corporate job is I got into solar sales consulting. And that was in Melbourne and Victoria. And we did incredible. That really helped me. I went from having a good high paying salary to having nothing and going commission only. And that is a really great test to test responsibility and mindset and to do 1,000 Ks a week, paying for all the gas. I had my Audi that was sucking lots of fuel, mm-hmm. big tires, lots of servicing and turning up, people closing the door on my face or not wanting to talk to me. And we got paid well, but it was really hard in the mental sense. And so Josh King is his name. Now I'm going back, I'm helping. That's the event that I'm going to in Dominican Republic in October. And so I'm still with him. He's created an incredible community. He's doing remote solar sales, very much aligned in the same vision and path and helping people build their lifestyles. And in a way that's really great because, you know, okay, solar, kind of who cares, but it's kind of good for the environment. Maybe there's arguments around that, but really what it's allowing people to do is reduce their costs and energy bills, which in the US, it's through the roof. Mm-hmm. And so you can feel really good about that in a way that we can do it remotely and live this lifestyle. And I'm all for that. I think that's awesome. So they're the two people that stand out. There's probably others that maybe I'm connected with, but generally not really. And when I look back at the people that we're hanging out with, they're still doing the exact same things as 5 years ago. They haven't grown.
Okay, I'm going to dig into that a little bit, right? Because I think so very often people are scared about cutting those ties and leaving those people behind, right? And there'll be a degree of guilt, but it's like, well, what do you want to achieve? What difference do you want to, you know, has got to be sacrifices along the way. And it is a choice. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to be in the fullness of time? Do you want to be up here? Or do you want to stay down there? And if you're an entrepreneur, it strikes me that you want to be up there. So, yeah, I mean, look at who you surround yourself. And they say you're the average of the five people you spend most of your time with. You know, that's a well-worn statement. So, you know, make sure that you choose the right people and don't be scared to let people go. Just stop returning their calls.
It's easy to say that, isn't it? It's easy to say don't be scared of anything. You know, like fear is such an integral part of who we are as humans. Yes. Not always relevant, probably less relevant than ever before. Don't be scared. But when you touch on the guilt, I was just having this conversation the other day with my girlfriend, actually. We're just walking along the street talking about guilt and how there's two forms of guilt. When we're under unpacking, guilt's a great emotion. We need it. It will give you an indicator of where you didn't live up to your values. Mm. You did something that went against your essential being and who it is that you are, and now you feel guilty, and that's a great indicator to go, well, maybe don't do that again. Mm. We don't need to hold on to it. You can let it go, forgive mm-hmm. yourself, mm-hmm. forgive the situation, whatever's going on, and I think that's really healthy and functional. And another form of guilt is feeling guilty that we didn't do something somebody else wanted or expected us to do or to be. And without going too deep into it, that is, we'll go deep. It's a few layers. And if we lose someone, but it's really self-abandonment, a self-neglect to be that caretaker or that people pleaser to say, I'm going to do everything that it is that you want me to do. I'm going to be the person that you want me to be. At the expense of myself. And it's self-abandonment. So how important is it for yourself to really, you're never going to get the life that you want. You're never going to get the future that you want. You're never going to get anything that it is that you truly want or, you know, fulfill your potential if you're kind of trying to take care of everyone else's needs. And so when we get that level of guilt, that's the one that we need to get coached on. That's the one that we need to look at ourselves and go, am I worth this? Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm worth it. How can I demonstrate this to myself? And it comes down to a conversation. A lot of it's boundaries. Boundaries, needs, and emotions. Self-esteem triad, I think, is a really beautiful place to start. And we dive into that and then we realize all the dysfunctional patterns that we're losing or we're using to keep ourselves safe from actually achieving what it is that we want to achieve and achieve the big audacious goals that we talk about here.
Yeah. A lot of work to be done, isn't there?
There's always a lot of work to be done. That's something I love to reflect on often. I look at my life and go, shit, the more I know, the more I discover, the more I realize I don't know and how much work there is. And it's easy to get trapped into the overwhelming realization of going, even on the best day, the day that I feel like I'm the absolute king, I realize that I've only got like 0.001 of what there is to know and learn. And I'm like, oh my God, I thought I came so far. Self-acknowledgements are important. I love self-acknowledging. And I think where I get excited is the realization, the awareness of how much that it is that I don't know. I've given up a lot of my ego and being right. I'd rather be wrong and happy than right and rigid, you know, stuck where it is today. But I find it really exciting and challenging to create the awareness and the perspective. Actually, by the way, that's what parallax means. When you change your perspective on objects, the objects are there to change. And I think that's a great metaphor for life and how it is that we create opportunities. But when we change our perspectives or we create more perspective through awareness, then it creates more choice. And there's a really great quote about choice, 1, 2, and 3 different lines of choice. I can't remember it, so maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it. But the more choice, the more choice that we have, the more free we feel. And so people talk about freedom. Well, freedom is not about getting money. It's not about being able to go to work when you want or not want. It's about being able to have as many choice lines of choice. You go, well, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll do that. And when we've got more than three or at least three opportunities for what we're going to choose and be able to go down any of those paths, now we feel free, providing there's a few other things, being able to make decisions in the face of challenge and being able to follow through on the choices. But that's where freedom starts.
Well, we could carry on all day, but we can't. I think we've just finished on a really seriously good spot there. So I'm going to bring the episode to a close, but you know, how can people get hold of you? What's your, I mean, we'll make sure that around the show notes and in the, you know, comment section on the Facebook, what's the best way for people to get hold of you?
And Facebook, I'm pretty active on Facebook. Daniel Lawson should be able to find me there. I believe I should be tagged. Instagram. Yeah. I spend a bit of time there. I'm spending a bit more time in LinkedIn now. My website, Parallax Transformations, Parallax spelled with the double X. So P-A-R-A-L-L. AXX. I've had to learn that off the top of my head. Transformations.com. There's some really great insights there. There's a cool behavioral profiling tool there for high achievers that want to find the gaps. And what it is, I believe a lot of what is going to allow us to succeed is understanding the gaps and what we need to focus on. One of my favorite parts of work is helping people face their reality. And when we face the reality, face the truth that they're living, then we can level up that part of life that's been keeping themselves safe. We've all got it from what it is that we really want and what's most important in life. So there's a really cool tool around that. What I'd love to recommend, I've got a blog. It's around the performance habits that I established in my life that like turned me into a serial winner in like 6 weeks. There is a blog post with the 12 habits. It's journaling. It takes 15 minutes a day. There's 12 habits there. You can do it in any journal, or you can get the Parallax Transformations journal there as well. It's like €25, sent out anywhere in the world. And it's all beautifully laid out in a 90-day journal. And it comes, I promote it as the most valuable journal in the world. If anyone can find a more valuable journal backed with the guarantees that this journal has for the same price, I'll buy it for you. Like that's how much I guarantee the success of becoming a serial winner through that journal. So super passionate about that. It's on the website as well. That's probably the best ways. And then reach out directly. I'm happy to have these conversations. I'd love to have another conversation around, I think one of the really important conversations within goals is being emotionally connected to our goals. Mm-hmm. Because what we're emotionally connected to will take care of. And we know the conversation about procrastination, distractions, and avoidance strategies. And I'll say it here, chances are those people are emotionally connected to feeling safe.
Yeah.
It's so easy to coach and it's so easy to get rid of because all it is switching what you're emotionally connected to. So we'll wrap up on that. I think
we'll wrap up. Yeah.
There's lots there.
Yes. Well, look, thank you very much for joining me. Yeah. It's been very, very helpful for me. And you're such a young man with so much knowledge. It's just like,
Thank you. Well, thank you. And it's funny because I've started saying that to some of my clients. I'm 35. I try to keep my youthful looks. My girlfriend's a bit younger than me, so she's always like, stay young, Dan, stay young.
Yeah.
But like, I'm coaching people now, they're like 25. I'm like, wow, the conversations that we're having, and you're getting information to this at 25, it took until I was 30. So, and I'm like, now I kind of sound like the older the people that are here to me saying that about me. And I'm like, I'm moving into that, but I'm really excited for the people that are in the young 20s with the early 20s having access to these kind of conversations.
Yeah.
That's transformative. Huge.
Yeah. That's incredible. That's huge.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, to the youth.
To the youth, the next generation. To the youth.
All right. Dan, thank you very much for joining me. We'll catch up soon, definitely.
Awesome. Thank you, mate. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Goals Do Come True. I'm Doug Bennett, the Goals Guy. Please remember to subscribe and review on Apple, Google, or Spotify. Visit dougbennett.co.uk for the latest on transforming your life through goals. Happy goal setting. Until next time.